Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman, here as always with Mike Morial. Mike, we are here in Buffalo. It is Wednesday of the NHL Scouting Combine. Things are in full swing here. The teams are doing interviews. The players are milling around, learning about NHL teams. The scouts are learning about the players. This is the best week of the year for us, for what we do, as adding the road to the draft. This is the big stop.
You basically just summed it up all right there, Adam. It's like, you know, the players are running through the gauntlet here with all the teams. They've been here since Monday doing the interviewing process. They're going to continue through Thursday. They've got medicals this morning. Obviously, through the medicals, you'll find out if a lot of these 106 prospects, which are here, will be eligible to test. The testing of the VO2 max, of course, that big bike test goes on Friday. And then we have 70 of the 11 tests to take place on Saturday. So that's always fun to see them go through all that testing. And then, you know, for the Wingate test at the end, where a lot of the GMs and the scouts and the media members just clamor over there to see who's going to maybe give up, who's going to keep it going, who's going to push. So, yes. And then you get the guys at the bikes.
Yeah. The yellers on
faster, faster. Let's go. Let's do it. But look, we got a great show to open up here at the Combine. Connor Bedard is going to join us. We have the director of amateur scouting for the Chicago Blackhawks, Mike Dunahy. So it's going to be a fabulous show, Adam.
As you said, Mike, we had the chance to sit down with the expected number one pick of the draft. Here's that interview with Connor Bedard. Connor, it's been a big week for you, you know, going from Kamloops for the CHL Awards to Vegas for the Stanley Cup. Now you're here in Buffalo for the Scouting Combine. What's it been like for you? Have you had a chance to kind of catch your breath yet?
Yeah, it's been definitely pretty busy, but it's been a lot of fun. I think, the opportunity to get to go to Vegas and watch the Stanley Cup final game there, their fans are crazy, and it was a really, really fun atmosphere, and obviously Kamloops was great as well, so it's been a fun week, and excited to get here and kind of get everything started.
What are you most excited about the coming here to the Combine, Connor? Is it, the tests, the interviewing process? What are you looking forward to most?
Yeah, I think there's a lot. I mean, it's good to be with a lot of guys that I know and meet a lot of the other kind of draft eligible players, and and then meeting with teams is pretty exciting. So the whole part, the testing as well. It'll be pretty fun week.
Has the reality of what's going to happen started to set in yet? Now you're here, you're in Buffalo. We're less than a month away from you having the chance to pull on your very own NHL jersey. Has the reality of what's going to happen kind of start to set in now?
I don't know. I think, I'm just trying to kind of take things day by day. And, obviously it's exciting coming here and getting to talk to teams and everything like that. But, for me, it's just kind of trying to live day by day. And, obviously that's in the back of your mind. You want that day to happen, but for me, it's just kind of trying to stay in the moment.
So how much have you been educating yourself on the third largest city in the United States?
Yeah. For me, like I've said, a lot, nothing's kind of final yet. I think, you got to wait till draft day, obviously. If, that's who decides to take me, I'd be, incredibly excited. But, there's so many great players, so we'll see, obviously, what happens, in Nashville.
I'm curious, you're going to go through these interviews and teams are going to ask you a lot of questions. When you go into them, do you have questions for them? Do you ask teams or do you want to ask teams what their approach is? Do you go in? Because it can't just be a one-way street where they're asking you stuff. Do you have things you want to ask them?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it depends on how the conversation's going. I think, there's definitely some things that you want to ask, kind of, what they want to see out of you and that sort of thing. But I think just kind of how the conversation's going, and it's only, there's so many players, you only have so much time. So, if there's time at the end, I'll probably, throw a few questions in there.
Curious, Connor, how superstitious are you? Like, are there any crazy superstitions that you have prior to games, game day, mornings, that type of thing?
Nothing's too crazy, but, I kind of do the same thing every day, and, it's very regimented. So, I guess I have some superstitions and stuff, but I don't think anything's too out there.
All right. I have one for you. If I told you that I was going to touch your sticks prior to a game, how much would that drive you crazy?
Yeah, I wouldn't like it at all, for sure. I've had it happen a few times, and some games I've played well, some haven't gone well. But, for me, I don't know why. It's just something I don't really like.
With gloves? If I had gloves on?
No, nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Where did that come from? How old were you when that started?
I think I saw Crosby did it, and then I kind of wanted to be like him, so I started doing it when I was pretty young, and it's stuck with me, I guess, yeah.
So you've had an amazing season, Western Hockey League, World Juniors. Is there something that you can point to that this is the highlight of my season? When I look back 15, 20 years from now, this was the highlight of my draft season.
There's so much. I mean, you know, in Regina, we had so many cool moments, and you know, it was so much fun kind of getting to be in the playoffs. Obviously, it sucked we lost, but that might have been, you know, some of the most fun hockey I've ever played in my life. And World Juniors, I think winning that is probably something that you look at, and it's probably the biggest thing that happened. And but there's so many memories I made and everything. So you know, pretty grateful for that.
We know so much about you on the ice. What do you feel is your best off ice quality?
Yeah, I think you know, pretty good with people. I think you know, my mom is really good. Like, I feel like she's always she's really good talker and everything. And you know, I think I'm good with kind of people and friends and helping people out maybe a bit.
You know, it's interesting. We've asked a lot of guys that you played against who the hardest player to defend, and they say you. I'm curious. Let's flip it around. You know, you played Western League, you played World Juniors. Who was the hardest player for you to go against amongst the guys in this year's draft?
Oh, in this year's draft? Man, there's a lot of good players for sure. I'd say, I mean, everyone was tough, but I think this guy, like, I think Danielson was actually on me the most. Like, he was line matching me and kind of shadowing me a little bit. So he was probably the guy that, you know, just a head-to-head thing gave me the hardest game.
What was it? Is it the size, the reach that he has that made him so difficult?
Well, he was just on me all game. And but he's so fast. He's, you know, so skilled. So if you turn it over to him or something, he's going to go down and do something. And he's a great player. So it was pretty fun battles between the two of us.
Did you have an opportunity to watch any of the Memorial Cup? And what'd you think?
Yeah, I watched the game. I was there at the game Friday. So I got to see that live, which was great. And then watched some on TV. So it was good. I mean, obviously, it sucks you're not playing it. I wanted to be in there for sure. But, you know, I think getting to watch and kind of see. I know a lot of people in that tournament as well. So it looked like a lot of fun. And, you know, it was obviously very high-level hockey.
So it's going to be a really crazy time for you moving forward here. Are you going to get any time during between now and when whatever NHL team you end up with, development camp starts? What are your off-season plans? And what's your off-season focus? Where do you still want to get better?
Yeah, I think you can get better everywhere, and for me that's big. And you know, I think obviously my goal is to make that jump to the next level, whether that, you know, happens or not. But you know, I'm gonna try to kind of do everything I can in the gym and on the ice, of course, to try to make that happen. And I think a lot of that's kind of speed and stuff, and then other areas.
You know, I remember years ago at Crosby, people said, well, he's not good on faceoffs. So we spent an entire offseason working on faceoffs. Or somebody said he can't score enough, so the next season he comes back and he scores 50 goals. I'm just curious. You know, if there's a singular aspect to your game that you say, you know, people say, maybe I need help here, I need work there. Is it just a strength thing, or is there a single focus that you're going to have? Like, I really want to put a little extra accent on this particular aspect. I know you said you want to work on everything, but is there one thing you're going to maybe spend a little bit extra time on?
I think something I could maybe do more, score or create more kind of in and around the net. That's something that, you know, that's where goals are scored a lot. And you know, I think I did better at that this year than my 16-year-old year. I had more goals kind of in that area. But I think if, you know, you want to score goals at the highest level, that's going to be somewhere you got to go. And not saying I don't go there, but maybe, you know, have a little more finesse there and score some more goals kind of in tight.
Can you just describe for fans what it took for you to develop the shot that you have in your arsenal right now? I mean, everyone knows about how great a skater, the IQ. But it seems like that shot is the one thing that scouts and GMs always talk about. How much development, how much work did you put into to get that part of your game so, you know, so developed?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's something I'm kind of always doing, and you know, at home or on the ice, of course. And you know, I've spent countless hours on it, and you know, still do. So it's something I enjoy, and something that, you know, I always want to get better at, and that's kind of everything with hockey. But you know, just being able to go in my backyard and shoot and try to work on it there. So that's obviously super helpful. And but yeah, just kind of, you know, spent a lot of time on it for sure.
You know, I'm curious. We're going to be sitting here a year from now. We're going to be talking about Macklin Celebrini. He's a Vancouver guy. Yeah. Like, you're a Vancouver guy. What do we have to look forward to from Macklin? Because I'm sure you guys know each other, skated together. You know, there's a relationship there. So what do we have to look forward to for the 2024 NHL draft with Macklin Celebrini?
Yeah, I played with him a little bit, played with his brother as well, and, you know, he's a special player, of course. What he did this year was remarkable, and he's always been super good, so kind of see him grow and you know, see the steps he's taken in his career is super exciting to, you know him and have you know, had that relationship with him. So, you know, I'm really excited for him and you know, there's so many good things about his game. I think he could go on forever.
Final one for me, Connor. So what's the NHL draft going to be like for you? How many family members, friends do you anticipate going? And just, you know, the anticipation of knowing that you're going to hear your name at some point, just the excitement of that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I try not to think about it too much, but, you know, you're kind of in bed or just chilling or something, and you definitely think about a lot just how close it is and, you know, that. So I think having your family and friends there is super exciting, and, you know, I got, obviously, parents and, you know, grandma relatives and stuff coming and some buddies as well, old coaches and stuff. So I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, whoever is getting drafted that support system and, you know, whoever has helped them so much along the way. So kind of be able to celebrate that with them. And, you know, it's good that they're all kind of going to make the trip.
Connor, thank you so much for taking time out to join us in NHL draft classes. Fantastic stuff. And good luck here at the Combine and moving ahead to the NHL draft.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Adam, it was great to have Connor Bedard on. And you know what? It's just, we know he's going through 6 interviews here at the Combine. He's going to go through the testing, which is going to be interesting to see on Friday and Saturday. But this is a generational talent, no doubt about it, that, you know, everyone's going to be curious to see how he goes about his business this week. And we all know, based on what we've seen previously, I mean, we've spoken to him at the Top Prospects game, and fans can go back and check that episode out on NHL Draft Class. It's still there. But just the fact, the type of person he is, the personality he has, you just have a feeling that this is going to be, you know, this is going to be something that's not going to be too much of a hassle for him. He knows what he's doing here.
You know, what's always struck me along the way as we've spoken to Connor just throughout the season is the poise that he has, regardless of the situation, on the ice or off the ice. You know, you come to an event like this to get to know the person you're bringing into your room, the person you're bringing into your locker room, into your organization. And you meet Connor Bedard, there's no airs about him. There's no, you know, he's not a high, doesn't strike me as a high maintenance guy. He strikes me as a guy who's going to fit seamlessly into whatever locker room he ends up in. Obviously, we all think it's going to be the Chicago Blackhawks, but he strikes me as someone who is going to fit into whatever your team environment is. And the playing stuff is the playing stuff. We can all watch that and see how spectacular he is when he has the puck, the vision, the shot, the skating, all those things. It's more about learning about the person. And we've had the chance to learn about the person, you know, through interviewing him. You've spoken extensively to his parents. I've spoken to his father a few times. You know, you get to know who the person is. And he's not just the best player. He's one of the best people that you can add in this draft class. So, you know, making him the number one pick really seems as much of a no-brainer as anybody we've come across as we've done this throughout the years.
Yeah, and he said that he's going to interview with the Chicago Blackhawks later today, and we're obviously recording on Wednesday of this week during the Combine. But another funny thing, and obviously our fans out there, because this is a podcast, you can't actually see Connor, but he looked impressive, right? I mean, the guns were blazing. He's got the polo shirt on. I mean, he comes in here. The cameras are following him. I mean, he is the man.
Well, he's used to it right now, right? He's been surrounded and followed, sir, since for how many years now? He's 17. He's been projected to be this pick for, what, three years, 4 years now, since he got exceptional player status in the Western Hockey League? I would hope he's used to it and adjusted to it by now. But again, to your point, being in that spotlight can change guys, can change people. We've seen how people, players, can react to going from, you know, a background player to a star. And they don't always handle it well. And you got to remember, he's 17 years old. And as I said earlier, the poise, the ease that he kind of handles all these situations, nothing fazes him. And that, to me, as impressive as it is on the ice, it's that impressive off the ice.
And finally, you know, we asked him about draft day, what it's going to be like. He took the time to thank his parents, to talk about what his sister meant to him, and mom and dad. They've worked so hard, and he almost makes it more about them than about him. And then, obviously, going overseas with his sister to Sweden when he was playing there, I mean, it benefited him. And, you know, he's so thankful with his family and everything else. But I just like the fact that, you know, this is a kid that off the ice is just as impressive as on the ice, and it's fantastic to see.
Well, the Chicago Blackhawks, Mike, got a great look at Connor Bedard, the person, when their interview, and we had the chance to speak to Mike Donaghy, the Blackhawks director of amateur scouting, you know, where he told us not just, I mean, obviously he's not going to tell us what the, you know, what his plans are at number one, but they have number 19. They have 4 picks in the second round. They have 2 picks in the third round. So it was an interesting kind of look at behind the scenes of what teams get out of the combine and what they might do as we move forward to Nashville. So let's listen to that interview with the Blackhawks director of amateur scouting, Mike Donaghy.
Mr. Donaghy, can you tell us who the Chicago Blackhawks will select with the number one pick in the 2023 NHL draft?
Not a chance. Still got a lot of work to do.
Okay. All right.
Still have a process to follow.
So, all right. So now that I'm armed with that knowledge, Mike, can you give us your assessment maybe into what makes Leo Carlson, Adam Fantilli, and Connor Bedard such attractive options with the number one pick?
Well, like I've said before, like these three players, they've earned the right to be in the conversation for number one. They're all different in their own regard. You know, I think hockey IQ is something all three of them have. Some are a little bit bigger than others. Some are a little bit better skaters than others. You know, you look at a guy like Leo Carlson, he's playing pro hockey in the SHL. They've all done different paths. Adam playing college hockey and Connor playing in the Western Hockey League. So they're all at high levels, but different levels. And they all exceeded expectations in those levels. So I think they've all earned the right to be in the conversation.
So you've done this for a long time. You've seen a lot of prospects come through. With Bedard, we've seen the hype. We've heard all the talk. The stats jump off the page. But from your standpoint, when we talk about generational talent, does Bedard hit that chord? You know, is he in that class where we can call him a generational talent from what you've seen as far as a player evaluation?
Yeah, I think it's tough to use the word generational because you're still dealing with 17-year-old kids. So obviously in his age group, he's one of a kind, as well as guys in the past have been the McDavids of the world, the Austin Matthews of the world. They've been able to do it on the next level. So there's still, you know, he still has to prove, as they all do, that, you know, when they're playing against bigger, older, faster players, that they're able to replicate what they did with their old age group. So, I mean, I don't want to put that moniker on him yet, but every indication and, you know, every place he's been, whether it be World Juniors, whether it be just the WHL, the CHL prospect games, he's exceeded expectations at every level.
So where were you when you learned the Blackhawks won the NHL draft lottery, and what was your initial reaction?
Well, it was so we have our May meetings in Chicago, our amateur meetings, the kind of end of the year meetings, and we kind of had to change the schedule because the NHL had the lottery later, I think, than usual. So we were scheduled to have our meetings on the Tuesday and Wednesday of that week, 8th and 9th, I think it was. The 9th and 10th, whatever it may be. So we were already in Chicago. They wanted to, business ops and hockey ops wanted to combine and kind of do like a watch party. And so at the United Center, there's a FanDuel there. Mm-hmm. So the scouts part of the hockey ops was sequestered on the second floor just by ourselves. And the one directive was we can't show any emotion, whether it was 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, which...
It was big
hard.
Difference.
Yeah, there was hard enough along, and we're watching the same, we're watching the feed like everybody else is, and you know the numbers are going off the board, and you know nothing changed, and then we get down the floor, and then they go to the intermission, and Daryl May, who's been with the Blackhawks just as long as I have, who's in another role now, but he was next to me, and we were kind of like little kids, like we're elbowing each other, like oh my God, is this really happening? Like
you got a chance.
We got a chance here. We're in the three. And again, we got a black screen because they've gone to commercial, and then my phone starts blowing up from some other people in the league, saying, oh my God, like you're 1 and 2. Like, and I'm like, what are you talking about? And I thought they were just giving me a hard time. And then it came on. And so, you know, we couldn't show any emotion. So at the United Center on FanDuel, you're on the second floor. And so Blackhawks, get the number one pick, and we just kind of ran out of the FanDuel and out the door, and next thing we're outside the United Center, out in the street, like it's no, and we got a dinner to go to, and we're kind of just there's about six of us just walking around, kind of like, and the phones are blowing up, and it's just kind of like, did that like just really happen? Like, and we're just wandering around the United Center, waiting for an Uber to go to dinner, and it was just like we were like little kids, like, oh my God, we just won the lottery! Like,
it's like you got the golden ticket to Wonka Land.
Yeah, like it was like wow, like, and then like kind of, you know, shock kind of sets in, right? You're like, did that like just happen?
How long does it take to kind of snap back into reality?
Well, you get back there quickly because then you're like, you know, you're reading your texts and, you know, people are throwing, oh, you're going to take this player, you're going to take this player, so on and so forth. So now you kind of got to focus because you want to return the text, but you don't want to give any information. So right. You kind of get back to it quick. And then we had a dinner already set up before the lottery was announced at a restaurant there. And then we kind of reconvened there with Kyle and Jeff and Norm McIver and Brian Campbell and the rest of our hockey ops and kind of like just kind of took a deep breath and then
now you get to work. Time to
start. Yeah, and it was interesting because we're going into meetings the next day, right? And so the dynamics of the whole meeting changed, and so it was kind of like I had to go about things a different way, right? Because I had to rein everybody's excitement in because we still have pick 19. 35, 44, 51, 55, like there's, you know, and Kyle Davidson goes on record and says, as good as it is to win the lottery, it's one player. Like, good player, but we still have other work to do.
That was going to be my next question. So when you get number one, you're the only team assured of getting the exact guy that you want. But, you know, how does that change what happens moving forward? Because you said you've got 19, you've got four in the second round, and maybe instead of having to build up all that draft capital, you've got a bonus there with number one. So does it change the approach at all with how you sort of set what you want to do heading into Nashville?
No, I think our approach, when Kyle put me in charge of this group last year, our approach was let's know everybody as good as we can from one to 224. Because last year, up until 4:30 on draft day, we weren't picking until 39. And we had five picks between 39 and 94. So the goal has always been to know the players you like and have an order there. Getting first, I mean, it changes it because you hope he's a big piece. And he's a big organizational piece. And I've gone on record before as just saying this, the only team that really does get who they want is the first pick. And then it's just kind of, all right, this team takes this one, so
you're left, you know, you're suddenly starting with what's left over.
And then the names go quick. And then, you know, every director has organizational traits that they have to be aware of and how GMs want to build teams and how management wants to build teams. So, you know, everybody's list is different. Names start flying off the board, and you just got to be prepared. But it's if you know the pockets – from 1 to 224, I think it's 224, you know, I think you can do well and you can get good players.
How many players did you arrange to interview at the combine? And if you can, Mike, just give the fans maybe a sense of what are you looking for in the Q&A with these prospects?
Well, I think we're doing 58 interviews, I think. We're only interviewing Monday through Thursday, 15, 16 interviews a day. So, you know, today's a little bit of a shorter day because the kids have a thing tonight. But for me, I think our scouts do such a good job before I see these kids with the information gathering throughout the course of the year, whether it's taking them to dinner or talking to coaches or guidance counselors or principals or whatever it may be. I have all the information in front of me so I can kind of navigate how the conversation goes. And, you know, these kids, I call it speed dating, right? Like it's just 20 minutes, 20 minutes. And I understand what they're trying to do. This is a job interview for them. And they're trying to make the biggest impression as possible. And sometimes you got to kind of slow the player down because you're asking him what his strength is. And then right after strength, he goes right to his weakness before you can even ask him, right? So, and it's just run on, run on, run on, run on. So for them, I think, if I can calm them down a little bit, and we talk a lot about other players they notice who have played against. We talk about, we try to get them to talk about hockey as much as they can just to kind of see if they really like hockey or they're just good at it and it's their job. And we talk a lot of other sports. Like I think with the Europeans, they're so cognizant of the language barrier that if you can get them talking about something they're comfortable in, soccer, some whatever it may be, they kind of relax a little bit. You get more information out.
Is that the biggest thing? Like, I know we always ask a couple of the players, like, what kind of questions do they get from the teams? Do you have, like, a set thing you'll ask them to sort of disarm them and kind of bring them down? Like, a couple of guys said they were asked, do you make your bed?
Yeah.
Like, do you have questions like that you know is going to take the temperature
no,
down?
No, I kind of, we're a fairly loose group. I've never understood why a team would go at a player, because they're nervous as it is, right? And why you would try to make them uncomfortable, right? So we try to establish a comfort level as quick as we can. And some of that is we have tried to have the regional scout in the room that's interviewed him throughout, the kind of like a phone a friend. Like, you got a you got a guy right there,
familiar face.
Yeah, a familiar face. And but we keep it loose. I mean, it's, you know, I obviously have a Boston accent, and I'll you know, when I'll ask a European guy, English is good, and I'll say, hey, well, your English is better than mine sometimes, and it'll get a laugh out of them, and just so they know they're in kind of a loose, safe environment, and it's not going to be a lot of heavy lifting.
So I know the talk's all centered on number one, but number 19 is pretty significant for you guys. Mm-hmm. With the depth of this year's draft and the capital you have, second round, third round, plus following years, is this the kind of year where you would it be advantageous to maybe see if you can get another first round pick because of the depth is so good in this draft? Or are you comfortable with just a two, and maybe we'll, whatever's in the second round will be almost just as good as a first? You know, if you kind of put it in Kyle's ear, if we can move up again, let's try.
Yeah, I mean, Kyle's very, I don't know if you know him well, but he's a thinker. So I really don't have to put anything in his head. He's always trying to say, okay, we have this, this, and this. Can we make it better, or is it good? You know, right now he's always told me, hey, let's plan on the eight picks in the first three rounds. And let's plan on making those picks as they are, and then we can adjust, you know, if we know anything. And it goes back to, like, last year. Let's plan on not picking a 39, but let's know that first round so good and where the players are that we like, that if we can get in there and I can package some stuff. So I'd leave that to him and Norm McIver and Jeff Greenberg, because they're, you know, that's what they focus on. I just got to, me and our group, we just got to get the players in the right spot.
So you have 11 picks in the draft, six in the opening two rounds. What do you feel is the strength of this draft, Mike?
I think fortunately for us, it's the forward position. You know, last year with us, we kind of looked at this year's draft when we, you know, and that was kind of the thought process besides taking Korchinski and Renzel in the first round last year, because we knew what this draft was, and there's some good defensemen. We didn't know if there was that top pairing on that number one defenseman. We think the two guys that we took have chances to be those guys. So I think the forward group for us, knowing that it was a deep forward group this year, I'll stay with the forwards. I think it's a good forward group.
So, yeah, that was going to be my question. If all things be equal, you know, Korchinski had a great season in the Western League. I think he was fifth in scoring among defensemen. Yeah. Renzel had a great year in the U.S. League. Nazar, you know, maybe some injury issues there. But all things being equal, would you lean more towards forward, you think, at 19? Because there are a couple of good defensemen that I'm sure would be available at that spot. But with the depth of forwards and the guys you took last year, would that be sort of more?
Yeah, I would think initially, you know, we would like to build up the forward prospect pool. I think historically every year, for whatever reason, some players fall. And you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe that guy was there. And, you know, there's a value on those guys. And for me personally, you can never have enough defensemen in your organization, just because whether you use them for yourself or you use them as an asset to trade. And that's what the draft should be about. You're accumulating assets. And the more assets you have, maybe it allows you to do something else. So we're not going to pass. I guess we're not going to pass on one if he's there that, you know, if it's
that
a guy
you really like.
That we really like. But I think we'll probably lean forward a little bit off the hop.
Mike, tell me, are you a coffee drinker?
Yes.
How many cups a day?
Probably only two.
Oh, only two. Yeah.
I do have a good energy level.
So I have you by one then. I have you by one.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of coffee this week, right?
It is. Like, it's I'm not a Starbucks guy, and we're at the courtyard and they have Starbucks, so I'm over at Tim Hortons. Still a Dunkin' Donut guy at heart.
There you go.
There's one I don't know, like a half mile, but I'm not walking that far in the morning. So it's kinda But yeah, I like a nice hot coffee to get going in the morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But Mike, this has been great. Thanks so much for hopping on NHL Draft Class. Best of luck to you and your staff at the 23 NHL Draft. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you coming on anytime.
So, Adam, you know, I got to apologize because I really thought Mike, knowing him for 7+ years, he would come out and actually tell us who the Blackhawks were going to take number one. Gave us nothing. No inch.
You know what? I was hoping. I got to admit, I was hoping he would give it to us exclusive. We'd be able to scoop the NHL world with who the Blackhawks were going to take at number one. But now we just got to wait till June 28th, like everybody else, unfortunately.
We have to wait. But, hey, it was a great interview with Mike, and he gave us a little insight into what the Blackhawks do as far as the interviewing process goes, the Q&As, and what they're looking for. And it was interesting, you know, obviously, as you said, he's not going to tell us who they're going to take at number one, but to get that insight into what he thinks of Fantilli, what he thinks of Leo Carlson, in addition to Bedard. I mean, that's all good stuff there because those are three high caliber prospects, players that are going to go maybe 1, 2, 3 in this draft.
More so, I like what he said about number 19, how they had three number ones last year. And they took the two defensemen, Korchinski and Rinzel, knowing that this year's draft is so deep in forwards and not as deep in defensemen. So to have that kind of forethought, if I'm a Blackhawks fan and that's who I know, that's the kind of people who I know are building out this roster and kind of trying to get them back to where they were, you know, 2010, 13, and 15, I'd be really happy to hear that. I'd be really confident as a Blackhawks fan that, you know what, these guys know what they're doing and they're going to get us heading in the right direction because they're seeing so far down the road.
Yeah, it's a big year for the Blackhawks, right, Adam? They got 11 picks in this draft, we've been talking about how they have 6 picks in the first 2 rounds. And we've been saying it all along. Previous episodes of NHL Draft Class, we've had JF Danfus for the QMJHL. You know, we've had David Gregory on to talk OHL. So it's a deep draft. And as Mike told us, he thinks it's deep in forwards, and those are the type of players that Chicago needs to surround. They're going to take Connor Bedard.
I feel very confident.
To surround Connor Bedard in the future. I mean, obviously, we all expect Bedard to be playing in the NHL in October, but you have to get those players, beginning at 19 with the next pick after Bedard, to surround him with the players that are going to have that competitive verve about them.
Well, that's right. And that's where you have this draft capital. And as you said, 11 picks in the first 3 rounds, it's pretty remarkable. And that's a way and they don't necessarily have to use all those picks, right?
Right.
Trade options become very enticing with those high second round picks, which in a draft this deep could be just as good as first round picks. So there's a lot for a very creative, very intelligent, very forward looking front office to play with. It's going to be, it's the Blackhawks' world right now, and they have all the advantage. They're the only team assured of getting the guy they exactly want.
So this was a great episode with Mike Donaghy and Connor Bedard, Adam. And fans can go back and listen to previous episodes of NHL Draft Class. We had Al Jensen. We previewed a lot of the goaltenders for this year's draft, and there are plenty that could go off the board. Pat Cullen did a nice preview with us with the United States Hockey League prospects and the NTDP. And we also had Dan Marr, the VP of Central Scouting. He spoke about, you know, obviously the final rankings, North American list and the international list. And also don't forget to check out our mock draft episode, which is always a lot of fun because we kind of debate and banter on who has the best mock draft.
Right, and why it's mine. But we're also, while we're up here, we're going to talk to a number of the top prospects, including Adam Fantilli, the expected number 2 pick of the draft to the Anaheim Ducks. So stay tuned to NHL Draft Class. We've got a lot of fun stuff already for you to listen to. There's a lot more to come. So download, subscribe. It's available anywhere you like your podcast. And you can follow us on NHL.com. Follow us on social media. Mike, it's still a big week for us here at the Combine. We've got started. There's a lot more to go. A
lot of coffee, man. A lot of coffee, yeah.
Absolutely. And for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.